Welcome to Our Noble Challenge. Pastor Eric Koonin now leads us in the study of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, his ministry partner, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, one who correctly divides the word of truth." Today we invite you to join us in your copy of the Scriptures as we examine together the Word of God under the direction of Pastor Koonin.
Thoughts are on the cross this morning. Glad you're here to hear the Word of God. Trust the Spirit of God will take it and use it in your hearts. At the cross has been on my mind all weekend. You ever have a song going through your head and you don't even know you got a song going through your head? I was in the shower this morning. I said, I've been thinking about at the cross, where I first saw the light all morning in the shower. And I come out of the shower and I said, what have I been thinking about all morning long? And it's actually been that song. And I thought, well, it's just like a connection to what we've been preaching on out of the Beatitudes for several weeks. You know, and now I am what at the end of that song? And now I am happy all the day long. Thoughts of the cross. Well, I want to think about the cross a little bit. It's been on my mind all week. And I was reminded, as I began this message, that people tend today to have a lot of terrible things to say about Jesus Christ and the cross, don't they? Kind of sad. And it's not just modern times. Wouldn't you say that it's been historic that people have had terrible things to say about Jesus Christ and the cross? I was thinking about some of that. I was looking in some scriptures in the Gospels, and when Jesus was here on earth, here were some of the things they said about him. They said he was a sinner. They said he was demonic. They said he was a drunkard. They said he was a blasphemer. They implied he was illegitimate. They said he was a glutton. And of course, they mocked and they scorned him in many other ways that we don't even begin to dream about. Isn't that a terrible thing? Here's the Son of God. We can add as a prefix the Holy Son of God, the only one who ever was on this earth that lived a life that was perfect in every sense of the word, and yet they maliciously attacked him again and again. Thought about it in modern times. Certainly he is perhaps one of the most popular curses going, wouldn't you agree? I've noticed in popular culture that he is the subject of mockery in cartoons, movies, TV. They portray him as comedic, as sinful, as lustful, as immoral, not God in any sense, but really like you and me, or even sometimes even a worse dramatization as being sinful. He is vilified and he is blamed. I remembered in the process of thinking about these things and doing just sort of a superficial study on it. Do you remember the National Endowment for Arts, the funding they did for that? They funded a man whose last name was Serrano to portray Jesus on a cross, sunk in a bottle of urine. I don't like to speak in any sense, even in any crude way, but I think you need to know what happens and what's going on and what the world thinks of Jesus. I want to preach this morning. I want to share with you the glory of the cross. I believe the cross is important. I believe the one that's on the cross makes the cross important. It's not the piece of wood. It's the one that went to the cross of Calvary for our sins. So I want you to turn to a passage that you probably wouldn't guess. Would you turn with me to Galatians chapter 6 in your copies from God's Word this morning? We love to tell the story. We sing that, don't we? I love to tell the story. What story do we love to tell? We love to talk about Jesus. We love to tell you about what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. If I can't be passionate about that, what could I be passionate about? I want you to share my passion. I want you to be excited about Jesus Christ. I want you to be excited about your salvation if you know the Savior. The problem for the proclaimer is the words get in the way. That's what makes it hard for the preacher to come up, because he knows his words are never sufficient, but God's word is. So in Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 17, it says this, and this is good for me, verse 11, right? See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. I'm kind of embroiled in a personal battle and trying to figure out how I can see better. I don't talk a lot about it, but I look at a lot of larger size Bibles. I think, do I need to use technology to make my letters bigger? I've given up on notes, per se, over the last probably year or two. So what I use is really what you see. This is the PowerPoint on paper, just in bigger letters, and that's what I use as my notes. And on occasion, I will throw something else in there in my own large letters. But I understand what Paul's talking about, but I don't think that's exclusively what he's talking about either. You need to understand, and I don't mean to bore you with this, but I just want you to understand this real quickly. Paul generally had a secretary, and of course, back in that period in time, they had scribes, and they wrote with a smaller handwriting to write a lot on, of course, you know, the valuable papyrus and papers that they wrote on, that they wrote in a smaller handwriting and very precise. If you see my handwriting, it tends always to be in large block letters. And I understand, and I'm not looking for sympathy, by the way. I'm really not. I just want you to understand what Paul's going through, and I kind of can relate to it. So I write in kind of large block letters, and sometimes my scrawl isn't all that good. And I wonder if Paul's wasn't that good either. So he says to them that, see with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. And I think it kind of goes beyond that a little bit as well. I think that he's implying some other things in the midst of this. I think he's trying to tell them that even though it may not look good to you, this is coming from the heart. And that the flesh itself isn't always what matters so much in how we do things. But what matters is Jesus Christ. Isn't that true with our salvation? As we start off with this sermon, is that true? It's not always all the rules that you keep. So many churches have been so rules-oriented that sometimes they forget that God looks at the heart, that God changes us from the inside out. And what Paul is sharing is from deep within his heart, although sometimes on the outside it doesn't look so good. So he says, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, These would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, you understand. But they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. By whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Might as well finish the chapter. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I ask the question right off the bat, do we glory in the cross or do we glory in the flesh? Is it the things always that we do in this life, do you think that is what's going to impress God? Is God like men and impressed with all of the deeds that we do? Or what your name is or where you've come from? People boast in the flesh. We are naturally inclined in that area. We see the exploits of men. We see the exploits of our life, and we like to display them. But there is no merit in those things. That's why Paul said, what do we preach? We preach Christ crucified. That's what we preach. We preach the cross. We glory in the cross. We glory in Jesus Christ alone. One of the problems Paul was dealing with, if you know the overriding themes of the book of Galatians, you realize that there was a group of people that wanted to add to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ the works of the flesh. And they were a Jewish group of people back then. Well, why do I care about all these Jewish people back in Jesus' time? The reason I'm even mentioning it to you is because, in a sense, we keep reduplicating what has happened historically. We may not have Judaizers. Judaizers said, we want to add something to Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus Christ sounds pretty good, but we want to add something to it. We think you got to be a Jew, and one of the outward signs of being a Jew was circumcision. So unless you add the covenant trait of the Jew, of the outward flesh, then I don't think you can be saved. And so we live in a world that continues to try to work in order to be saved. They say, Jesus Christ stuff is pretty good. We'll try to add some of that in our life. But I don't think you can be saved unless you add something else to it. And we want to glory in the flesh. One group will say, you got to do all of these things. Last week I mentioned to you that I was walking with a couple of guys a week or so ago. And you had to work your way to get to heaven. It was the flesh. There are some people that seem to come so close, but they say, hey, listen to me now. If you've never been baptized, sorry, you're not going to get to heaven. You got to add that work in order to be saved. Or somebody else will come around and say, it sounds pretty good, but I think you should add the Ten Commandments too. I think you lose your salvation if you don't keep every one of the Ten Commandments. And we kind of want a little bit of Jesus Christ in there too. See, we still kind of, It's the struggle. It's not a distinct difference today. In fact, there's only two religions, as I keep kind of barking out to you. You say, what do you mean there's two religions? Haven't you looked? You know, there's Islam, there's Buddhism, there's all kinds of cults out there, there's all kinds of religions, there's major things out there. What do you mean there's only two religions? In the midst of one of those religions, there are many forms and kinds. But it's the same religion. It is a religion of works. It's the religion of the flesh based on our works and what I do. I have to somehow do all of these things or I cannot be saved. I must be good enough. I must work my way. I must do all of these things. I always keep a little bit of an ear open to what's happening around the world this time of the year. I noticed in the Vatican, you know, they're doing a lot of different things, and a lot of people are making pilgrimages, you know, and doing all that sort of thing. I have noticed that some people even try to think that if this will bring some works of merit to get them to heaven, they'll do some things. I've seen where people will crawl on their knees on hard, rocky surfaces for long distances, their knees are bleeding, but they think maybe God will somehow notice them, that they are working their way to make it, that will you notice me, God? I remember seeing people in the Philippines getting hammered on the cross, thinking that maybe if they act like Jesus somehow, then Jesus will merit their work and get them to heaven. Folks, these are works of the flesh. There's only two religions. Number one, the religion of the flesh based on our works and what I do. And the other one is divine grace. It's what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. No merit of my own. Salvation is by grace through faith alone. Not of any works, lest we should boast. Truly, that is where our salvation lies. And I want you to understand it. I want it to be clear in your hearts. Too often, we fool ourselves. There is self-deception involved. One belongs to Satan, one belongs to God. Two religions, that's it in this world. That's it. I told you there are many forms in the first one. But they're all working, trying to get their way there. They may come knocking on your door. Hello, I'm from the church of... And can I ask you a question? They hand you out their tracts and their pamphlets and they tell you how you can work your way to get there. But salvation is by grace through faith. It is divine accomplishment. That's why Jesus Christ went to the cross. That's why when he was just before his last breath on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He did everything that was possible. And he died, went to the grave, and he rose again victorious. Divine accomplishment. He was our substitute on the cross. He took my sins on the cross. It's true religion. It's true salvation. It's Jesus Christ alone. So what's the point? Most people are trying, like the Judaizers, to find acceptance with God by works. Do you see it? Salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. Appreciate Pete's song this morning in the choir. Thank you for singing the power of the cross. The cross is mighty to save, is it not? What are you looking to today? You're saying, well, you know, It's always the same story. You know, it's the old balancing deal. You know, maybe if I've done enough good works, if I've accomplished enough, maybe somehow I think I'm good enough to get there. And the point of the Bible is, no, there is no one good enough. No merit of my own, it's His righteousness. I mentioned we don't venerate the actual cross, but the one who took my sin and died on it. It's Jesus Christ. I mentioned Constantine's mother and Erasmus. The reason I mention this is I guess I used to find some of the accounts in church history rather entertaining, you know what I mean? You take some church history classes as you prepare for the ministry, and Constantine's mother's name was Irene, and she took pilgrimages to the Holy Land way, way back when. And she would always come back with wood from the Holy Land saying these were pieces of the cross. And they say that she brought back so much wood she could have actually built the ship. In fact, Erasmus, many years later, and I mentioned him, was he laughed about it. He said, she said that there's so much wood and nails that we keep finding everywhere that he said you could build buildings with them. And it's kind of a sad situation. People want to venerate something. They want to take hold of something and say, oh, this is what it is. I remember when I was a kid, they used to always put on these movies that were kind of nonsensical, but they were about as good as they got back in those days. There was one movie called The Robe. And everybody that, you remember that? They used to show that if you're probably ancient like myself, you'd have seen The Robe. And, you know, it was supposed to have been the robe of Jesus, you know. And so anybody that touched a robe got healed, and it had power in itself. It's kind of like, you know, people today still, you know, talk about the Shroud of Turin and all of that sort of thing. People think that maybe there is some supernatural power in some of these artifacts that have disappeared. The fact of the matter is, it isn't the power in the artifacts or in the wooden cross. There's no power in that. There's power in Jesus Christ and His death and His shed blood. And so we preach the cross, meaning that Christ is mighty to save. His work on the cross is mighty to save. Well, I need to talk about glorying in the flesh. What does that mean and how does this play out? The direction we're trying to steer you this morning is for it to be clear for you to see Christ and His work on the cross. And obviously that's where we're going. Notice in Galatians 2:16, it's not the works of the flesh. Sometimes, you know, I want to make that so clear because it seems like when you talk to most people today, they're always trying to work their way to heaven. They're trying to add something to grace. They're trying to add something to Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ. How are we justified? In Christ. and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. And of course, you remember Ephesians 2:8 through 10, right? Talk about, for by grace are you saved through faith, and then out of yourselves the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship. Not that it's our workmanship, we're his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. After we've been saved, then good works comes, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Well, back in Galatians chapter 6, he tells us here in verse 12 again that it's not a good show in the flesh. As many as desire to make a good show in the flesh. It's the usual. People think they're good enough to earn heaven. They want to make a good show in the flesh. They want others to see that somehow they're dramatically different because they have worked something special. And if you do this, you can make it to heaven. No, you can't. It's not of your work. Didn't you just listen to the other verses? God's not interested in what you are accomplishing. That's the work of human accomplishment. That is the religion of the devil. The religion that is true of God is his grace, his divine accomplishment, his going to the cross of Calvary for your sins. That is true religion. There are people that desire to make a good show in the flesh. He says as many of them, like the Judaizers, they're trying to show you what you need to do. They think you should be circumcised back then. They worry about their flesh, not suffer or struggle on the cross. Do you notice also in verse 12? There's really two reasons. Do you see it? People want to do the flesh. They want to somehow boast and say, I'm good enough. Look at my good show in the flesh. That's the first reason. The second reason is people worry about their flesh. They don't want to suffer or struggle for the cross. They may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Do you see it? They don't want to suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. We got through the Beatitudes, you remember that, right? Spent all that time on the Beatitudes, spent 4 weeks on the Beatitudes. Happy, happy, right? Are those, we named 8 different things. People, he said it didn't sound like we should be happy if we did all of those things, you know. Happy are the poor in spirit. I mean, how can you be happy if you're poor in spirit? The idea is until we see ourselves that we don't have anything to offer Jesus Christ, including any good work. Blessed are they, happy are they who mourn. We mourn over the sins that we have, and our only hope is Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Then we sang today at the cross, at the cross. The burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not that unusual. In fact, If you do all the Beatitudes, you may suffer for Jesus Christ. Well, Romans 3:12 mentions to us that, you know, we have a lot of ideas. And notice as we go into glorying in the flesh part two, the third thing is they like to think they do right. But they can't keep their own standard laws, rules, whatever else. They do all religion or trying to earn or work or achieve through the flesh. So Romans 3:12 tells us what? Can anybody do good? Is it possible that someone could live their life and do good? They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. How many does good? No, not one. So there are three things you need to understand about people who glory in the flesh. Number one, they hope that they can boast and say, hey, I think I've done plenty. I think God deserves someone like me, and I should make my way to heaven, and I'm going to work my way there. Second of all, when it's a matter of the flesh, they do not want to suffer for the cross. And number three, and which, by the way, I think if persecution happened in our country, we would really find out who the true Christians are, don't you? Who are the ones that would really stand up for Jesus Christ? And thirdly, verse 13 of Galatians 6 said, even those who are circumcised, for not even those who are circumcised keep the law. They can't even keep their own rules and laws and all of the things that they think are so great. They can't do it. And thirdly, that's what it is. They like to think they do right. But we can't even keep the little laws of our own, no matter what religion it is. All right, so we must glory in the cross. What is kind of emblematic of Christianity? Is it the dove? How about the Ten Commandments? Put a book out like the Bible, would that be enough for people to understand? I ask you, what do we put outside of our church? What's on the other side of this wall? Cross. Why do we put the cross out? It's just kind of a neat thing. It's kind of fashionable, isn't it? You ever see a lot of, you know, every once in a while I see these entertainers and pictures and stuff, and they got crosses on. And I think to myself, oh, they must really be Christians. And then they ask them why they have it on. Oh, it's just a piece of fashion. That's kind of unusual, isn't it? But historically, the cross is kind of emblematic of who we are as Christians. Why do we point to the cross? Do you notice that our cross doesn't have anyone on it? Why is that? He's not on the cross anymore, is he? We serve a risen Savior, do we not? We don't serve someone who is still on the cross. It is finished, right? Some have joked that we have two crosses out there. So I said, I hope no one thinks we're the church of the double crossers. Don't take that with you. So we glory in the cross. Paul strongly says here in verse 14 now, but God forbid what? That I should glory in any kind of boasting that I do, anything that I have accomplished, anything that's going on in my life. We glory in the cross of Jesus Christ alone. It is Christ alone is our salvation. That's the whole point of the sermon. Everyone's trying to earn their way to get to heaven. But the only provision of salvation is the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We preach Christ crucified and risen. And that is what we preach. That is who we are. We can preach nothing else. That is what we are called to preach and proclaim. And so on this Sunday, before we celebrate the resurrection, do we say, man, we really got a great church, and I see all the great things you folks are doing, and we're working, and you need to do this, and you need to do that, otherwise you're not going to make it to heaven? That is not ever going to get us to glory. It is by grace, through faith alone, in the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. You can't save yourself. God forbid the emphatic that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul says, all the rest of this is manure. So many people are saying that's not enough. There's got to be another way. There's got to be more. There's so many wonderful passages, and as we close up this morning, I'm so thankful that we're reminded in Scripture, Peter said, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold from your former conduct, your aimless conduct. It's not by the traditions of your fathers or anything of that sort. But I love what Peter said, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Our faith and our hope is in Christ alone. We must glory in the cross. There's three reasons I give you. Number one, you can't save yourself. God forbid that we should glory except in the cross of Calvary. It's in His divine work. Number two, all the outside works and rules are meaningless. The heart must change, and that's what Christ does. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. Remember, 2 Corinthians says, we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. And finally, in verse 16, the cross brings into play the divine rule or accomplishment. And as many as walk according to this rule, what rule? I don't know. I thought we didn't have any rules. I thought it was divine accomplishment. That is the principle. The principle is divine accomplishment. It is the work of God. That is the only way. Don't you see it? 14, we boast in the cross of Christ. As many as walk according to this principle, this rule, peace and mercy be upon them. That's right. And for all who believe, be it Israel or Gentiles or whoever it is the cross alone. It is divine accomplishment. It is what Christ did, not what you do. It is Him alone. Don't be fooled. That is the great deception of the devil himself, who says you can do it. It's not enough what Jesus did. I am here to tell you repeatedly, exhaustively, that it's Jesus Christ alone that is the answer for your soul's salvation. You and I are sinners. Oh, man, don't tell us that. See, that is the original struggle for us all. We don't ever want to think we're that bad, and so we think that I'm going to be all right if I do some good things. It's a lie. That is a lie from the devil. That is human accomplishment. Salvation is only in Jesus Christ. As sinners, we come to the cross. Forgive me, O Lord. We know that there is a provision. There is a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He is the only provision. So we come to Jesus. We go to the cross. We ask Him to forgive us for our sins and trust in Jesus Christ alone. And He promises, in no wise will He cast you out. He will never turn you aside. Oh, Father, we pray this morning that we will see the light, that Christ is the light of the world, and that all men are in darkness apart from Him. May we trust You alone for our soul salvation today.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Our Noble Challenge. Our Noble Challenge is a production of Berean Baptist Church. Pastor Eric Coonan and the congregation of Berean invite you to join us when you can for a service of worship at 10:30 Sunday mornings. If you're interested in the Sunday school hour, you may show up at 9:30. We are located at 12985 Tollgate Road, Pickerington, Ohio, 43147. You can also reach our office by phone at 837-5204 or join us on the web at BereanBaptistChurch.com. Berean spelled B-E-R-E-A-N, BaptistChurch.com. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.